You know, sometimes it's very difficult to do this program because I like to keep things light. I like to give you a little something to laugh about every once in a while, to look at the world around us and have a chuckle about its absurdities and all that kind of thing. But every once in a while, for a little while now, since the election probably, it's been difficult because I don't want to sit here and complain and spout off and criticize. But it's difficult. It's difficult. Because it's hard for me to have the realization that sitting in the White House is a man who has mental problems, who has multiple personality disorders. And when I say multiple, I'm talking about probably 76 different disorders. A man who likes to curse in front of large amounts of Americans, talks about grabbing women's you-know-what because he can, acts like a schoolyard bully. If anybody crosses him, he knocks them down to their knees and destroys them. Acts and performs with great, tremendous amounts of anger and revenge. A man who admires Vladimir Putin because when Vladimir Putin does something in his country, his people follow and everything runs very smoothly. That's called dictatorship. And I think that's what he wants. Beware, ladies and gentlemen. Beware. That's all.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Now on with the fun stuff.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
I'm sorry, did I start the show off in too serious and opinionated manner? I know a lot of you disagree with me, but that's cool. That's what this is supposed to be about. You have your feelings, I have mine. We don't understand each other, but it's okay. We're both nice people, right? I know I am. Are you? Oh, no. I don't know. The newest thing and the stupidest thing, and this just plays out to what I'm talking about. This president guy, he's very upset that he didn't win the popular vote. 3 to 5 million people voted for Hillary more than they've, you know, more than what Donald Trump got. Donald Trump knows that he's president now because that's where he lives, in the White House, but he's very upset and very hurt and very revengeful and very angry that he didn't receive the popular vote. And he's arguing that point. You're in the stupid job. You have the stupid job. Why are you belaboring the number of votes that got you? What's wrong with you? Personality disorder, perhaps? He's making a big deal of this. He's saying that it was voter fraud, which he's claimed all the time. Even if he won, it's still voter fraud. He says 3 to 5 million votes were won Hillary the popular vote, and Trump doesn't like that. Oh no, someone else can't be popular. No, no, no. I want it all. I want it all. So, and it doesn't fall under the dictatorship guidelines to have somebody else get the popular vote. Oh, no, no, that is not the definition of dictatorship. So he's upset about it. So this is what he says. It's exactly what he says. He says that these 3 to 5 million votes were fraudulent. Hillary Clinton didn't win the popular vote. He really did because of these fraudulent things. He says that a lot of people are dead and they voted for Hillary. I don't know how dead people vote, but apparently people use their name or something. I really don't know. He says millions of them were illegal votes from illegals who shouldn't be voting at all. And there's no proof of this whatsoever. Maybe 1 out of 76,000,000 people. Not even evidence of that. But he claims, and here's the kicker, which is just this childish mental disorder statement. He says that all of them, every single one of those 3 to 5 million votes that won Hillary the popular vote, that none of those fraudulent votes would have been for him. If someone's going to vote fraudulently, it would always be for Hillary. It would never be for Donald Trump, is what Trump is saying. That is so incredibly stupid that I'm embarrassed that this man sits in that nice house. All right, I won't talk about it anymore, but that's reality. That's not fake news. That's real news, Donald. And good luck on your quest to be dictator of the United States. So far, you've fooled enough people to make this possible. Unbelievable, baby. Okay, welcome to the show. How you doing? Good to be with you. I am Ron Van Dam. I do this every single weekday right here, wherever you're listening to me, on your smartphone, your laptop, your desktop, out of your ass. I have no idea where you're listening to this thing. You can find us on newenglandbroadcasting.com. You can find us on the Podbean network. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and many other outlets like that. And we are also picked up by various stations across the country, here and there, Willy and Nilly. That's not the name of the show, the Willy and Nilly Show. I really don't know what the name of the show is. So how you doing, everybody? You doing okay? You doing all right? You feeling good? Yeah. Oh, man. I'm grumpy.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, every once in a while we get these smacks in the face of reality and somebody iconic passes away. And all of a sudden we start to realize that the things that were good in our lives, they pass. And it happened again yesterday. Mary Tyler Moore has passed at the age of 80. And she is being touted throughout the world, certainly this country and certainly the entertainment world, as being one of the icons that changed political views, even that Mary Tyler Moore represented in her Mary Tyler Moore Show, certainly, this single female who had a job that was prominent, and how she fought for the single female. She was portrayed in that manner. It was a very funny show, not as funny as others in my estimation, but that wasn't the point. these trailblazer television shows actually do make a difference in society and our advancement of certain things, certainly advancement of women. Ironically, the major role that she played before that was on the Dick Van Dyke Show as Laura, this whiny little housewife, funny, but whiny little housewife. So there was even, I mean, these are roles that she played, but that was a very, very funny, well-written sitcom as well. She suffered through her life horribly, unfortunately. A lot of people didn't know that her only son, Richie, shot himself, didn't commit suicide. It was an accidental, shot himself accidentally. I don't know how that happens. I guess when you clean guns, that can happen or whatever. I don't know the specifics, but she lost her only child. She was married three times, which was fine, but she lost her husband, lost her she got a divorce and he didn't die. She lost her son and she turned to alcohol. She was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes very, very early in life as a young woman. She lived quite a long life, but the diabetes started presenting complications when she got into her older years. Eyesight problems, close to blindness. Her body started taking a beating, which is what happens with diabetes, and she was very well cared for, but the onslaught of the disease took her over. But she lived until 80, and that is pretty amazing for the medical problems that she had. She also had a brain tumor type of thing and had a brain operation as well. I mean, been through some stuff, but iconic nonetheless. And of course, we mourn her passing. What struck me was when somebody of that iconic nature dies, you get these, well, now we get tweets, you know, so now we can immediately hear from everybody their sorrow and their pain and their celebration of her life. So we get that now, which is an immediate response, which is very interesting and very comforting to the family and to many people that grieve the situation. But it's so sad to me that this happens when you pass. In other words, wouldn't it be wonderful if you were Mary Tyler Moore and all these people said these wonderful things about you before you passed? Then you'd be able to get, you'd be able to say to yourself, my life was so appreciated by millions and millions and millions of people. People are saying that I actually changed the course of history for women, that I was iconic in so many people's lives, that they followed me and appreciated me and loved me. Wouldn't it be great to know that ahead of time? Because she can't hear this stuff. I know that in some religions, she's like somehow hovering over my house right now. She's in heaven. Which heaven, by the way, is up there in the clouds. You know, the heaven's in clouds. That's the way it's depicted. It's the way that our ancestors depicted heaven. It was in big, white, puffy clouds. And there'd be a big golden gate and the whole bit. But that's, you know, that's what we picture in our minds, that she can hear all of this adulation and she can hear all the adoring people saying these wonderful things. Okay, fine, all right, whatever. But I'm saying, and I don't know if there's any way to do this, but wouldn't it be wonderful to appreciate the people that we love right now? And I'm not saying that we should walk around our planet every day of our lives and assume it is our last day. That's kind of dark. That's kind of grim. That's not a real happy life. I'm going to die tomorrow, probably. That's not happy. That's no way to live. But on the flip side, wouldn't it be wonderful if people told you all the time how much they appreciate you, how you have affected their lives in a positive way, how you have touched somebody and made their lives better? Wouldn't that just be so comforting to know? Not after you die when you can't know anything anymore. You see, all these adulations and all these good words and all these thoughts and these prayers, they're not to Mary Tyler Moore. They are existentially. They are to us. They are to the living who somehow need to cope with her passing. And that's how this all works. That's how this works. We celebrate the lives of these great people. We mourn them in order to comfort ourselves, certainly to comfort the family, the remaining family. That's really the bottom line, isn't it? To say how much we appreciated and adored the person who has departed, that should make you feel better as you mourn. But we kind of really do it for ourselves, because it makes us feel good about ourselves to say good things about other people, to appreciate them. It makes you feel like a good person. Sure, you're mourning, you're sad, but it helps with your identity. It helps you realize things about yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we need that. Oh, we need that. And some of these celebrities, they get the opportunity when they get old. They have these award shows where they receive an award, a lifetime achievement award for doing something wonderful, whether it be the Nobel Peace Prize or an Academy, a special Academy Award for entertainers, something like that, where the audience stands up and gives them a standing ovation and appreciation for their career, their life career in the entertainment field, etc. Yeah, those are moments. But when the whole world gathers together and salutes you, you have to pass away first. First, you have to die to get those adulations. And that's why we, in our families, if somebody passes in our families, there's one lesson that we all learn, and we say it out loud, and we exercise it for quite a period of time, and then it almost always goes away, as everything else does in life. Time changes things always. But when someone passes in your family or friend of yours or something like that, what do we say? What do we do? We say, oh my God, from this day on, I'm going to tell this other person, these other people that I love, I'm going to tell them I love them every single day of their lives. I'm going to appreciate them every day, because I know now that they may not be here tomorrow. And that's how we react to this stuff. And it's good, and it's cool, and it's honest. I'm just saying, isn't it too bad that we can't think about this all the time and act like this all the time? Now, I'm not going to be weird about it and run up to you every time I see you and hug you and say, I love you, man. I'm just so glad that you're here with me. I'm so glad you're here. That would be a little weird. That would be overkill. Because that's not the way we do things every day. That would be very sorrowful. That would make us feel better. That would make us feel worse. I don't want the realization that tomorrow I may not wake up. That's not a happy thought. So we don't do that, really. It's a very tender line that we walk. Anyway. Just saying. It's sad when this happens. We measure our lives according to our present icons. When icons your age start passing away, you know that you're probably in that same group. You know what I'm saying? I thought Johnny Carson was amazing. Wasn't the funniest guy in the world. Wasn't the greatest guy in the world. But he represented stuff And when I was growing up, I watched his show every night. I met him. I knew him. I had a connection to him. And it was a part of my life that now, without him there, it was empty. So I get all of that. I'm a closed casket guy. I think I've talked about this before. This is a morose show, isn't it? I'm very, very sorry about that. I apologize, and I'll get off of this immediately. Anyway, the idea of this is Mary Tyler Moore passed away, and very sad, and everybody is saying great stuff, and well, they should, but it's after she died, and that's the problem. Now, yeah, closed casket for me all the way. Oh, man. I started to go to a few funerals, not a lot, but a few. And when they open the thing, and I know this is it's totally a religious thing. It's totally religious. When stuff like this happens, you follow the religious rules. No matter what religion you are, whatever it may be, you follow those rules to the letter, to the T. No fooling around there. I don't care what you follow those rules. Casket must be open. Casket must be closed. You cannot be cremated. You have to be this. Have to be buried over here. You got to wait 3 days. You got to have people come over to your house. You got to do this. You got to serve little chicken sandwiches at the wake. You got to send out. You got to make sure this is done. I mean, no, you don't approach the casket without. And you always say you give your respects and you move on. Then you say a little prayer. I mean, those are the rules. They are to be followed. This is not a time to question the rules. For me, I like that casket closed. I don't want my final thoughts of a person to be wearing way too much makeup. I mean, open caskets are kind of like visiting Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And I don't mean that to be funny. I'm serious about that. That's what they look like. I don't need to see someone that I spent a lot of time with, admired, was a part of my life. I don't need to see them dead. That's not a lasting image that I wish to have in my mind. It doesn't do much for me. I know if the casket is closed, I'm pretty much trusting that they're in there. And I kind of get it. I kind of understand what's going on here. I don't have to see them or physically say goodbye to them. I can do that with the lid closed. A nice picture of them on top of the casket reminding me of what they were like when they were living, when they were vibrant, when they were smiling, when they were living. That's the image that I want to keep in my head through the rest of my time. Not the final image of a lifeless body. Now, that's just me. I don't know. I'm just saying. That may not be following the rules, but that's what I prefer. Cremation, burial, I have no idea. Perhaps another option would be doing what we do to dead animals, like a moose or a deer. Yeah. Have the people mounted and put on your living room wall. I don't see what the difference is, really, between a deer head and a person head sticking out of your wall. I mean, I know that sounds disgusting, but what's the difference? Well, Ron, because we don't do that. Oh, okay. All right, fine. We don't take living things, stuff them, and hang them on the wall. Are you saying we don't do that? Well, not human beings, Ron. Oh, just other living things that we were close to. Well, I wasn't close to the deer or the moose. Oh, you were close enough to shoot it and put it on your wall. And why are you mounting an animal head? Why are you mounting something that you killed on your wall? You know why? Because you're proud of it. It's a trophy. Look what I did. I killed a large animal. Wow. I see. And that's something that you want everybody to know? You bet I do. That's a trophy. That's an honor. When people come into my living room and see that moose head, they go, wow, you're special. You're wonderful. That moose was going to kill all of society. There was going to be a moose invasion. Zombie mooses from hell. They attack people. Millions of people are killed every year by stray mooses and meeses. It's our job to kill them, stuff them, and put them on our walls. And I'm proud of it. Okay, fine. Okie dokie. Hey, it's time to talk to some of our guests for today. I don't see why we shouldn't. I don't see why we should either, but that's besides the point. It's very crazy stuff. It's almost tax time, ladies and gentlemen. I know, I hate to bring it up, but it is time to gather your taxes. Most of us have received everything we need in the mail, all our forms, all our employment forms there, our 1052s, our 927s, our 623s, our 1022s, in order to file our taxes. So I thought we should speak to a tax expert. I'm sure it's not the last time that we'll be doing that this particular month. Lisa Green Lewis is with TurboTax, and she's got some words of encouragement at this difficult time of year for many. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. We have CPA and tax expert Lisa Green Lewis. We're going to talk about tips for getting a jump on your tax refund and some new tax laws. I assume they're not Trump's tax laws. These are prior ones, I assume.
Yes. And there are not too many new tax laws.
Okay.
Everything is business as usual.
Okay, fine. All right. What are the benefits of getting this organized early?
One of the benefits, last tax season, about 75% of people received a tax refund, close to $2,800. So, you know, you want to file early. So the IRS opened yesterday and started processing returns. So you want to get your refund as early as possible.
Okay. All right. Fine. Don't various businesses and banks and all that, do they have a deadline when they have to get you your forms? We have to wait for that anyway, don't we?
Yes, and you should be seeing them soon. The deadline for W-2s is January 31st, and then there was a change with the IRS, and the deadline for 1099 miscellaneous forms, so people that are independent contractors, freelancers, they'll be seeing those earlier this year on January 31st as well.
Okay, all right. So that's a good thing, I suppose. All right. Now, what are the small little changes that may have occurred tax law wise?
There are not any big changes. Uh-huh. I would say in 2015, not last year, the year before that, tax extenders, some of those were passed permanently. So there were some, like the sales and local tax. That's a huge benefit for people who usually cannot deduct state taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That was passed permanently. There were some changes for earned income tax credit. They expanded the ability to get that credit, but no huge changes really.
Okay. All right.
For 2016.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Now, how can I make sure that I'm getting the most for my tax return, or filing correctly, making sure I've got everything that I can get?
First, you want to make sure you have all your documents together and any receipts for any deductible expenses. Second, you can go online and file with TurboTax, and TurboTax asks you simple questions about you, and we do the program does all the calculations on the back end. You're not required to know the tax laws.
Oh, good.
And we search for over 350 tax deductions and credits that you're eligible for.
Boy, I guess the internet's horrible as far as I'm concerned, but this is one of the benefits of it, where you can do your taxes online with a firm like TurboTax and basically have you people there without sitting in front of you.
Right, and one great thing new this year, you could, you know, DIY doesn't mean that you're alone. With TurboTax, you could connect live via one-way video to a credentialed CPA or enrolled agent and get your tax questions answered.
Okay, great. So if I do have questions, I'm not stuck in trying to figure it out. I can actually connect at that point.
Right, and you're connecting live via one-way video. It's not a chat. You know, with the one-way video, they can see your screen, so they can guide you exactly.
Oh, even better, as long as you don't hack into my system, but I don't think you will.
Okay. No.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Tell me about some deductions that people can take that they kind of never do, or things that they really should be doing, which they tend not to do. I mean, of course, it depends on your individual circumstance, but in general.
Right. In general, one of the most surprising one for people, some people may support their friend or their boyfriend or girlfriend, and many people are surprised to find that they could claim them as a dependent if they've been supporting them the entire year.
I see. Financially?
Yes.
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 Okay. All right. Okay.
And that's worth an exemption of $4,050. So a lot of people are surprised by that.
Yes.
You have people diving into self-employment. A lot of them are surprised how many expenses they can deduct from their income.
Right.
You know, expenses related to actual expenses for driving their car for their business or supplies that they buy or their home office.
Okay. What if you're starting up a business and you haven't made really income yet you're spending in order to set yourself up for that?
Yes, you can deduct startup costs, and the IRS, they understand that when people are starting a business, they may not be making money.
Right.
So you can deduct those costs.
Okay. And of course, going back to the first thing you said, like if you've been supporting a friend, you can claim that, but they can't claim anything. Is that right?
Right,
yes.
Right.
Okay.
So you would have to be providing over half their support, and they wouldn't be able to claim their own exemption if you're claiming them.
Okay. And what about the, and of course it's better to file married than it is individual?
In most cases, people that are married, and if they file married filing jointly, they will see what is called a marriage bonus, because tax rates are lower for married people, and there are also deductions and credits that you can get by filing married filing jointly.
Okay. And for many, that would be the only bonus there is to being married. That was a joke, by the way, not a tax thing. Okay, all right. So this is available to everybody, TurboTax, and I assume it's easy to find.
Yes. Yes, you can go to TurboTax.com.
Yeah. I don't know how old you are. You sound quite young, but I'm old enough to remember when I used to get a pen and then the forms would be in the post office, and I used to sit down and do the whole thing myself, longhand and filling out the things and, you know, and I don't think people do that anymore pretty much, do they?
No, no. The best way to do your return is by e-file. You know, it's better for accuracy. And then with like TurboTax, it asks you all the questions.
Right.
You don't need to know the tax laws. The old pen and paper way, you need to know the tax laws.
That was a horrible time of life, by the way. that's when filing taxes was like death and doom, like death and taxes, they say. Now it's not so bad, really. It's not so bad because things are done for you, and you know, it's okay for other people to have more knowledge than you do.
All right.
So, TurboTax, thank you so much for all your time and these interesting suggestions. I didn't know about some of these. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Goodbye, Lisa.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, paying taxes does give you double vision, unfortunately. Well, we go from taxes to your medicine cabinet. I know I'm the king of segues, right? Let's find out what's inside that little cabinet of your medicine thing is and what you do with your old pills and what should be really on hand in your medicine cabinito. Linda Chamba is ANRN, and we're talking about your medicine cabinet, not yours specifically, Linda, but in general. It's the kind of thing you do when you go to somebody's house for a party and you go to the bathroom. You take that little peek into the medicine cabinet and check it out. And every once in a while, you realize, hey, I haven't touched this stuff in like 20 years.
Right, right. You know, and Ron, we are in cold and flu season. It's in full swing, as you know.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a perfect time to go through right now and toss anything that's expired or doesn't look right. Because medications, when they expire, they can lose their potency, and some can actually be harmful. But you don't just want to throw them down the drain. You know,
yeah.
You want to call your local town or your city and find out what the local rules are for disposing of them properly, Rod.
Yeah, many places, it's the police departments have disposal areas and such. But, yeah, you can't just throw them away in the garbage or anything. That's bad.
Right, and some hospitals have take-back programs, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Linda, I want to ask you very quickly. Is it that it's lost its potency or it's turned into something else? I mean, what actually happens if you take something that is expired?
So some things can lose their effectiveness, their potency, they're less effective. But some things like antibiotics can actually be harmful. So you want to follow the rules, I think. Because I think the worst thing to do, Ron, is wake up in the middle of the night and have nothing on hand to treat symptoms. For example, if you wake up with a cough due to the common cold, you know, you need something that works quickly. So you want to make sure your Vicks VapoRub is in date. Doctors, pharmacists, pediatricians have been recommending this cough rub. And consumers have been counting on it for more than 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was really glad that my jar was in date last week when my son woke up with a hacking cough. I put some on his chest. It was soothing. It helped him get back to sleep. You need to be able to sleep and fight these things off when you're sick. So that's why it's important to make sure what you have in your medicine cabinet is effective.
Okay, so you got to have some of the standard things so when you go for it, it's there and usable quickly.
Right.
And that's one of them. What are some other items that should always be on hand?
Sure. You know, I mean, this time of year, a lot of us are getting together for parties, you know, Patriots games. There's a lot of comfort food around right now. Some of us might be indulging too much. So if you end up with an upset stomach due to overindulgence, you want to make sure that your Pepto-Bismol is in date. This medicine cabinet essential provides soothing relief for a whole bunch of things none of us like to talk about, but like heartburn, indigestion, nausea, upset stomach, and diarrhea. They also have these handy little tablets that you can keep in your bag or your pocket so you can treat those stomach troubles on the go. But as far as some other essentials as well, if you have aches and pains, you want to make ibuprofen is really good. It's an anti-inflammatory or naproxen. Acetaminophen is good to help bring down a fever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just need some basic items, I think, as far as over-the-counter medications to if you wake up and you're hurting.
Yeah, that's important. Okay, so all right. So go through the cabinet, get rid of the stuff that's expired. Go out and buy fresh stuff of the things that you may need when you don't. You know, it could happen at any time. I got that. Okay. Now let's talk about relieving because it is flu and cold season, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the vapor rub and stuff. What's a good cold medication?
Well, you know what I always start with for nasal congestion is a sinus rinse or a saline spray. I think it doesn't have any medication in it.
Right.
It works really well.
Right.
You need to keep a humidifier can help you sleep better. And there's really something to chicken noodle soup. And I just want to point out, it's fine to use these over-the-counter medications and comfort measures for a few days, but if you're not getting better and things are getting worse, you really do need to see your doctor, Ron. So I wanted to tell you about this great website and app that can help you be prepared for that visit. Uh-huh. It's called MediPortal. It's a new secure patient portal that allows you to pull all your medical and fitness data into one easy-to-navigate profile. So you can access your medical records, you can track your fitness with wearable technology, and you can view a complete picture of your health really at any time. I think it's really sort of a gateway to better health, and it helps you when you go for that visit.
Okay, all right. What else do you have there in your bag of your doctor bag?
My bag of tricks?
Yes.
Well, you know, as you're restocking, as you've cleaned everything out and you're restocking your medicine cabinet, I want you to check out this great new app that I recently found I'm using, I'm loving. It's called Boxed. I don't know if you've heard about it,
no,
Ron.
No, I haven't.
But it's like this online Costco, but it doesn't have any membership fees, and there's free 2-day delivery on most orders. So you can stock up on all your essentials without even leaving your house. And the easy-to-use app is perfect for bigger bathroom items like paper towels, soap, toilet paper. I just used it for the first time last week. I have to say it was awesome. The prices are like wholesale club prices, so you're getting great prices. And it's delivered right to your door. So I think it's something good to check out if you're thinking about restocking.
Okay, wow. Someday there'll be an app just to make you feel better. You just put your smartphone in your mouth. Well, actually, don't do that. But I'm just saying, theoretically, no, I just caused a big problem. Okay. All right. You said chicken soup is still a viable thing. What are the why is that so? Why do people talk about chicken soup all the time?
Why does it work? I mean, you know, it definitely works. Okay, let me put it like this.
Yes.
The chicken soup is hydrating. The water and the salt is hydrating.
Uh-huh.
The warmth of it opens up the congestion.
Oh.
It helps move mucus through the nose faster. If the mucus moves out faster, the same thing with the saline rinse. The viruses spend less time on the lining of your nose. So all these things work. There's also, they say, to chicken noodle soup, like the vegetables in it provide an anti-inflammatory response. So so there really is something to it. I think it's been used like since the 11th century, I've read, as a treatment. And so I would definitely, everyone's been sick in my family. Everyone I work with has been sick. My son's been sick, and I've definitely used the chicken noodle soup trick to help reduce. I don't know. It's not going to cure it because colds are and coughs are due to viruses, but I think it can make the symptoms better. And just boosting our immune system with sleep and eating a healthy diet, getting out and you know, when you do feel better, getting a little exercise, just boosting the immune system a little bit can really help fight these things off.
Okay. There's also a psychology to it, too, I guess. You know, like mom used to give, when I was a little child, mom used to bring me the chicken noodle soup and put the Vicks on my chest and the vapor rub, and I was fine.
Right.
So
that
helps.
It's funny, and isn't it funny, Ron? Like when you smell the rub on your chest, it just brings back memories. It's so deep in your head, isn't it?
Yes.
And the chicken noodle soup too. Like when you're sick and you're eating it, so it's very comforting as well. But there is something to using these measures, and unfortunately, right now, I think a lot of us do need to have these things on hand because it's things seem to be off to a little bit worse of a start this year as far as the cold and flu season goes compared to last year.
Okay.
I'm just hoping things get better.
I thought you were talking politically.
That too.
then we go back to the medicine cabinet and the drugs.
Yeah, let's talk about the medicine cabinet.
All right. How do we get more information about all of these ideas?
Yeah. Okay, so there's a really good website called betterstuffforlife.com. You can read about anything that we talked about today and get more information, Ron.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, thanks, Ron.
Take care, Linda. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Bye-bye.